William Morrow and Harper Audio present The Way to London, a novel of World War II by Alex Rickloff, performed by Therese Plummer. For Tom and Matt, my own little sprogs. Chapter 1. Singapore, September 1941. Troop movements, battles, sinkings, bombings, Russia resisting, England persevering, Japan rattling sabers, America dithering. Boring! All of it completely Dullsville. Lucy Stanhope turned the page and her attention to the announcement of a Portuguese woman giving birth to septuplets, an Australian man being sued by a wife he claimed he'd never met, a strike of the Great World Amusement Park's cabaret girls. Now this was news, yet still hardly worth more than a quick scan. She tossed aside the newspaper and waved a languorous hand to signal one of the Singapore Swimming Club's white-jacketed waiters. It was 1 in the afternoon, surely not too early for a cocktail. "Miss Stanhope," he said with a little bow. "A gin, Ricky, heavy on the gin. And could you do something with this umbrella? If I lounge out here much longer, I'll be pink as a lobster."
"Of course."
The waiter shifted the wide beach umbrella, casting a shadow over all but her trim ankles.
"Will that be all?
Can you conjure a breeze? Not one of these pesky little things, more water than air, but an honest-to-goodness gust that brings with it a tang of wood smoke and a rattle of leaves?
Pardon, miss?"
She'd clearly confused the poor chap. He probably assumed she'd started on the gin rickeys with her bacon and eggs this morning. She didn't know why she'd spoken. Maybe it had been the 6-month-old copy of Woman's Own just arrived in this morning's post. All those photographs of sweet, fresh-faced girls in hand-knitted cardigans and crocheted wraps like sweet old Granny used to make. Well, not Lucy's Granny. She doubted either the dear departed Countess of Melcombe or the mainline society grande dame Mrs. Carlton Stanhope III would be caught dead doing anything so plebeian as crocheting. But other people's grannies, other people who posed on picturesque stone walls while equally fresh-faced, smiling young men in sleeveless sweaters looked on in innocent adoration. Other people who sipped cocoa by roaring fires while playing Parcheesi with Mom, Dad, and little Gaptooth Jr. One big, happy family. Talk about fictional. Almost as far-fetched as the article she just read about Hitler's being eaten by his pet alligator. "Never mind. Just the drink. Thank you." The waiter made another little bow and scurried his way around the crowd of swimsuit-clad women basking on lounge chairs in the equatorial sun, past the patient Chinese amas leading their little charges toward the pool like ducklings in a row, and finally through clusters of wrought-iron tables where wealthy European tuins and their memsahibs picked at their 3-martini lunches and chatted about tonight's dance at the Tongling Club. The recent arrival of Mr. Duff Cooper and his stylish wife, Lady Diana, in which wives had strayed from their marriage vows with the dashing officers arriving fresh on the island shores like a sampan's catch of the day. It would be the same tomorrow and the day after tomorrow, on and on into infinity. She was so tired of it all, the pettiness, the triviality. Surely this wasn't the best life had to offer. Lucy turned her gaze to the sea, watching the to-ing and fro-ing of ships in the harbor. Merchant cruisers, great wallowing cargo ships, and passenger liners refitted as troop transports, while the little lighters and trading junk circled like minnows. She fanned herself against the tropical heat and accepted her drink with a smile. The sweet bite of it slid cool and far too easily down her...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?